KA9SXH, New Berlin, Wisconsin. Good morning.
KDAC, Repeater Saginaw. This is the Saginaw Valley Amateur Radio Association repeater in Saginaw.
Okay, A9SXH.
KDAC, repeater Saginaw. Welcome to the SVARA repeater in Saginaw.
KA9SXH.
KDAC, repeater Saginaw. KDAC, repeater Saginaw. This is the Saginaw Valley Amateur Radio Association repeater in Saginaw. KDAC, repeater Saginaw. Welcome to the SVARA repeater in Saginaw.
KA9SXH, New Berlin, Wisconsin. Good afternoon.
KDAC, repeater Saginaw. This is the Saginaw Valley Amateur Radio Association repeater in Saginaw. KDAC, repeater Saginaw. Welcome to the SVARA repeater in Saginaw. KDAC, repeater Saginaw.
KFA, BLX, monitoring.
KDAC, repeater Saginaw.
N8ELX. This is KA9SXH. Good afternoon. My name is Terry. How are you doing on this beautiful day? Station calling. This is KA9SXH. A9SXH. A9SXH, New Berlin, Wisconsin. Good afternoon.
This is the Saginaw Valley Amateur Radio Association repeater in Saginaw. KADAC, repeater Saginaw. KADAC, repeater Saginaw. Welcome to the SVARA repeater in Saginaw.
KEHCV, Marvel.
KADAC, repeater Saginaw. This is the Saginaw Valley Amateur Radio Association repeater in Saginaw. KADAC, repeater Saginaw. Welcome to the SVARA repeater in Saginaw. KADAC, repeater Saginaw. This is Saginaw Valley Amateur Radio Association repeater in Saginaw.
KEHCV, Marvel. KEHCV, KF8BLX. How's it going out there, Mr. Charlie Brown? Doing just fine. Just leaving Bay City Park after doing a pole activation. Cool, cool. Not that I know too much about yet, but I've heard it's quite interesting.
KADAC, repeater Saginaw.
Yeah, I find it interesting. I get 40 meters with the hand stick and do FT8 digital mode and contacts. Let the dogs sit there in the grass and whatnot. And when I get done, I walk them on the beach and head home. So that's all, using all mobile stuff there and battery and all of that. Yep, running off battery and solar. And, yep, it's a fun little thing. It's a good practice for field day and emergency services. Cool. I'm just to the point now where I finally got a 2-meter rig that actually works finally here. We talked a long time ago, I don't know if you remember or not, but I was having issues in building antennas and trying all kinds of different stuff, and a couple months later I think it's been, and finally got a setup that's actually working and getting to the repeaters I needed to get to. Nice. What kind of setup you got? I picked up a Yaesu 2900R, and I've got, believe it or not, what actually finally worked was a magnet mount. I guess it's a stinger. It's not. I mean, it's probably 36 inches long, something like that. I couldn't even tell you the name brand of it. It came with the radio, and it doesn't really have any markings on it, so I don't even know what the name brand of the antenna is. But put it up on my garage, and my garage has a metal roof, and apparently my metal roof is acting as one big ground plane, and it actually works. After having other antennas 25 feet in the air and not being able to pick up or get out to anything, that's what finally worked.
So you got this antenna on your car, or you got it stuck to a cookie sheet hanging in the air?
It's in the middle of the roof on my garage. My garage has a metal roof on it. So basically, I'm using the garage as a big old ground plane. So it works. This radio's got definitely enough power. I'm running on the 20-watt setting right now, with 80 watts capability, so far I haven't needed to even move it from the 20 watt, and I've hit every repeater in the area with no issues, and everybody says with complete quieting, so hopefully it's not just conditions and it stays this way.
Sounds like you're probably 15, 20 feet in the air. And you got a really nice sized ground plane.
I didn't even think of it. Somebody else told me to do it, and I was thinking completely the opposite. I was thinking that because there was metal roofs on the garage and on the house, that that's what was interfering with the other antennas that I had up. But it's completely opposite of that. It's working well as a ground plane, very well.
Yeah, and the other antenna is if you would arrange a ground wire down to the roof and connected it to the roof would have acted for a ground plane with the other antenna and really got you out there.
I don't know. I think there's something going on with the house, though, because the only other place that I could put it was kind of right next to the house, because I live in a rental and I can't put anything permanent up. And it was only like, you know, a couple of feet away from the house and the other applications I had. They were way up in the air, but they were only a couple of feet away from the house. And even though they extended over the house, there was just, I couldn't get out. My receive was crappy, scratchy and all that and everything, and I did ground two of them to the house ground. It's in the ground already. There's a ground rod next to the house, and that didn't work, but I just out of the blue just decided to grab this little 13-inch stinger I had with a magnet mount, and I put it out on the pig unit outside the back window here for the propane pig unit, which is only, you know, it's about 10, 15 feet away from the house, and as soon as I did that, everything started coming in clearer. So there's something in this house, or with this house, or something that just doesn't like antennas to be anywhere near it.
So your mag mount, you said it's a 3-footer?
Yeah, roger that. I believe it's about, yeah, it's 36 inches, 32 to 36 inches, something like that. It's just a solid steel stainless width with the base. It's a base load. It's an NMO, what do you call, connection on the magnet mount. Nothing special. I didn't see anything special with it, but it works better than the $100 fiberglass, what the heck antenna was that, a diamond. I had two different diamond antennas. One of them was the dual band fiberglass, what was it, 17 foot, 3 element fiberglass one. That thing didn't work for crap, even with the ground plane on it.
Yeah, that's interesting that the big ones weren't getting the job done. That's usually not how that works. But I'm happy the 5/8 wave mag mount is. That's a good antenna.
Yeah, that, and I think the radio is making a big difference too. I started with the first one I tried to use as a base was a quad band. It was a QIT 9800, which is basically supposed to be the clone to the Yaesu 8900, but nowhere near, and just, that was a terrible radio. It was absolutely terrible. The SWR was terrible on it, no matter what antenna I put on it. It was just, it was a bad radio, and I know it was the radio because I used the same antenna, one of the same antennas when I got this one, and the SWR was 1.13 to 1. It was almost perfect. So, and then this antenna is dead nuts perfect, right at 1 to 1. So that radio was just junk.
Yeah, soil composition makes a little bit of a difference too. Like, I tuned my ham stick at home, and I had a 1 to 1 ratio. And I went out to Crow Island and still had 1.1 ratio. I go out there to Bay City's beach, and my SWR jumped up to 3. I had to retune my antenna for the Bay City Park.
Maybe is sand more reflective because it's less dense? Maybe it's absorbing more. That's kind of weird.
I wasn't on the beach part of it. I was in the marshland, the DNR part of it, in their parking lot. But yeah, it's a little bit different. Over there at Crow Island where I did it, it was more rock and kind of the same type of soil, marsh. But yeah, this year's a little bit softer to get my ground spike into than it was at Crow Island. But and my yard is pure clay. Very hard to get ground spiked into the ground at my house.
Yeah, I've been that route before. I hear that one. Definitely hear what you're saying there. Did that on my old, where I used to live, and I used to actually live in Bay City. And where I used to live in Bay City was all clay. And when I put up one of my antennas for my 10 meter, and I had to pound that ground rod in through the clay, it took, oh yeah, it was not any fun. It took a lot of swings.
Yeah, I had an electrician out at my house running a ground wire from the panel to the water line to make the house code. And while I had him there, I had him install my ground rods for my radio for grounding. Because they got this big impact wrench, and they punched that right into the ground like it's nothing. Otherwise, you ain't getting it in.
Yeah, if I'd have known then I'd have known before what I found out after, then yeah, I probably would have went about the same route you did there. Because, you know, like I said, it took two of us and a lot of swings to get that thing to go through. But I can tell you one thing, it's never coming out.
If you ever have to install another one, go rent the power tool. You can rent them at Menards and Home Depot, Midland, and somewhere else, I think.
Yeah, it's just what? Just a hammer drill? Or did they use an impact gun?
It's an impact hammer. Big thing. Looked like a science fiction toy. And it just punches that thing and knocks it right down into that ground. I think it's the same tool for breaking up concrete, but the small portable version.
Yeah, that would make sense. Big old jackhammer and just hammer that stinker in there. Like I said, if I ever have to do it again, hopefully I never have to do it again, though. I think I'm going to stick to cookie sheets and metal roofs. Yeah, I put a small ground rod in one spot in my yard so I could run a ground from the chassis of the radio to the rod for static discharge protection, and the other rod was for electrical ground coming off the back of the radio and the power supply. And yeah, there's no way you're getting in that my yard any other way, that's for sure. We had our sump pump line break, and we had to get it replaced. The professional people that come out and do that stuff, I looked at them and said, where's the backhoe? They said, oh, we don't need that, we'll just hand dig it. I laughed at him and said, good luck. And he put like, he couldn't scratch the soil with the shovels. He put like a 10 millimeter mark in the ground and took him 30 minutes just to do that. Finally, they caved in and called for the backhoe. Yeah, that clay can be a lot of fun to play with, especially if depends on what time of year it is too. It can either be cold or too dry because there hasn't been enough rain or any of that, and you're not getting through it. You're not getting through it with nothing, even those, what do you call it? I know when we put a pool in our backyard and then try putting the damn fence around it, I couldn't get through it even with a post hole drill, not the digger, but the big drill that you rent. Wouldn't go through it. It kept clogging it up and stopping it and making it backfire and cutting up the engine and everything, and it was hell. Sounds like you had the small unit. You needed the two-man version. That would have cut through it. But, yeah, it definitely depends on time of year. When they came out to fix that line, it was during that year we had the drought, so the ground was like concrete. And, we had to put a fence in my yard. Thankfully, hit it in the spring, and the ground was nice and somewhat soft. So, but that post hole digger, the auger kind, that thing went and digged to the proper depth for the post holes. It dug like 2.5 feet to 2 feet, depending on where you put it. And that was all you're going to get. The other foot that I needed for putting the post in, you just had to use a fence post hammer and hammer it down into the clay at the proper depth and then pour your cement and hope it stands. Yeah, I ended up taking that thing, I ended up taking that thing back after, like, I think we got through 2.5 holes with it before I finally gave up on it, and luckily my son-in-law had a bobcat that had the auger attachment on it, and he went home and brought his bobcat on his trailer with the auger attachment and did the rest of them for me. Oh man, that's sweet. You're lucky. I wish that I knew somebody had a bobcat. If I did, I'd have them put a French drain in my yard. That way when we get all those heavy rains, which we haven't had in a long time, but when you do get them, a French drain really helps. Yeah, especially if you're living someplace low level. Anywhere in a flood zone or anything like that. Definitely comes in handy. I know every time it rains here, we've got like a two-level backyard. And then there's a creek It runs along the lower level of it, and that creek fills up, and the whole lower level, if it wasn't a two level, there'd be 5 foot of water in my basement, because it fills up the whole lower level, almost to where it starts coming over the upper level. And then it just usually stops right there. It's been, I don't know if we're getting lucky that it stops there or if that's the way it was designed, but it just stops before it starts going over that top level.
That sounds like design. You get a heavy downpour, and in Carlton, my whole side streets, every side street will flood. And so the ditches be flooded, the road would be flooded. But it's by design, apparently. So when the city's aqua spots get overfilled, they open these dams, special dams up, and they flood these side streets in Carlton. And the water goes right down the streets, down their designated path they got set up, and it goes through another dam and drops into the Saginaw River.
Welcome to the...
Where in Carlton do you live? I used to live in Carlton myself. I used to live right across the street from the high school. North Michigan.
Well, you're on the other side there. But yeah, I had a house there, and I ended up actually... We moved to Bay City, and I ended up using it as a rental for a few years and then finally sold it. It was actually my wife's before we got married, which is now my ex-wife, but that's a whole other story. But yeah, right across the street from the high school there.
And I probably walked past you a couple of times when I was going to school then.
Welcome to the SVARA repeater in Saginaw.
Alright, well, I'm going to call it a night here, I think. But have fun on your way home there. If you're not home by now, you probably aren't yet. But, it was good talking to you again. I'm sure we will talk again now that I can actually reach a repeater for once. Or finally, I should say. But anyways, why am I drawing a blank here? KE8CB, KF8BLX, and I'll be clear on your final.
KE8BLX, KE8CB, 73, and good night.
KADAC, repeater Saginaw.